Hey, I'm Brody Brazil, and welcome to Teal Town After Dark.
Thanks, Brody. Appreciate it. Good evening, everyone. Sharks fans around the world in Sharks territory. It's Tuesday night, April 2nd, 2019, and oh my, that was a third period to forget, isn't it, folks? The Sharks lose 4-2 to the Vancouver Canucks. Welcome to this edition of Teal Town After Dark. This is your live and interactive Sharks post-game show. Of course, I am Eric Kura. You can always follow me at PuckGuy14 on the Twitter machine. And we do this live and interactive after each and every game. So do yourselves a favor. If you want to be a part of the show, here's how you do it. There are multiple ways to interact with us. Chat with us and fellow Sharks fans in the YouTube chat, on the page, or the app. You can also add us on the Teal Town USA Twitter. Or you just use that hashtag TealTownUSA. But of course, hit us up on the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, the YouTube, and now on Spotify. You know who wasn't on the spot in the third period? The Sharks. Hey, all right. With us tonight is one Mr. Al Martinet.
Hey, Puck Guy. Hey, AJ. Hey, chat. At least you guys showed up for the third period, unlike the Sharks.
And joining us as well, Mr. AJ Strong with this sweet hoodie.
Yes, thank you. The sweet hoodie, and enjoy my donation. Absolutely.
You have one job today, Puck Guy.
Wow.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. But this hoodie is pretty sweet, though, right? Yeah, stealth hoodie up in the house. Nice lid.
It's not as great until then, you know, so whatever. All right.
No, it isn't. No.
Yeah.
If you want short house people, you better pay for it.
That sounds like a negotiation.
Yeah, no kidding, right? So the Sharks begin their final road trip of the regular season up in Western Canada with British Columbia. Thank you very much, man. Marty McFly. Thank you so much.
So, okay, no, we're tied right now, so we'll see what happens. know what? While you do your thing, I forgot. I need to finagle a prize, so go ahead and get into it.
Well, as they say in hockey.
I'm sorry, what?
As they say in hockey,
let's do that hockey. As the Sharks, with their game number 80, get into Vancouver on this one, and they start out like they've started out a lot of these. Early on, minute 28, a defensive breakdown with Jake Middleton in for Joachim Ryan.
Yeah.
Joe Pavelski gets back into this game, but minute 28 in, Tanner Pearson bangs one in. Jones looks confused there. 15th goal of the season. Bo Horvat and Louis Erickson on the goals. Al, talk about Tanner Pearson screws.
Yeah, I mean, it was more of just a defensive screw-up with Middleton and Burns. I don't know how often that's happened with those two together, but Joachim Ryan was out tonight. And this seemed like more of an audition to see if he could potentially take Ryan's spot in the playoffs, because Ryan's definitely not made as a case to keep him on the roster when playoffs hit in close to 5 days. But yeah, Burns just didn't really skate for the puck and led to that 2-on-1.
And that made it 1-0 in favor of the Canucks. A minute 52 in to entice the boys up a little bit. Michael Haley takes on Luke Shen, and Haley does a pretty good job. But I noticed, AJ, his knuckles were a little bleeding there, and he was a little upset after that one while sitting in the box.
I don't even know what the hell brought that on. I mean, like, okay, right? Quick goal or whatever, and then like just they were waiting for that puck to fall, and yes! Then they went after it. I don't know what brought that on. Yeah. Short house mode, and stop making me give you cuckoo money.
And Amanda with the donations, thank you so much.
We have to set up a Patreon specifically for Davalos, so I appreciate that. You know, and that means a lot too, because Davalos is massive Vancouver fan, so that means a lot.
You know, AJ, I think next season what we'll do is we'll try and figure out a way to YouTube has an SAP button, and that'll be Short House Audio Program Channel. So that way we have our regular show and then me doing short hats on the audio channel.
Oh, Lord. This seems like a threat.
Yeah.
What? It is not a threat. It is a wonderful thing. At 5:09, Banker gets the tip in off of a Brendan Dillon shot, makes Thatcher Demko look silly, going the opposite direction of the puck, ties it up at 1-1. AJ Jumbo tying a major star in the NHL 100.
I mean, I'm just think about, like, over the last 3 years, this has to be the best you've seen Jumbo play, like, all season. Dude has been rock solid. Now, granted, maybe you have a little more confidence, a little bigger of a chip over your shoulder when you're not worried about Bakker taking your ass, but dude is just killing it. And I think also maybe a little bit the third line responsibility. He knows that Couture and Hurdle's lines are going to get the vast majority of the defensive talent facing them. So it's just Jumbo taking advantage of that. And how great has it been for him to be like a mentor with LeBanc? I mean, and with Sorensen. I mean, both of them just great job. And you know, I'm firmly on the bring back Thornton for one more year at the right price. But yes, bring back Jumbo for one more year. Absolutely.
What do you think of it, Al? I granted, we still have playoffs to go through, but Jumbo inching closer to 50 points on the season.
I mean, I remember seeing last year that this was going to be his farewell season because the NHL All-Star Game in San Jose kind of gave that opportunity. But this is by far the healthiest he's been and probably the most productive he's been in the last 3 or 4 years. I just really do question 2 surgeries on 2 knees at that age. You really are counting your blessings, having him come back for another year, going through another 82. I really don't think he's going to come back personally, but I have been impressed with LeBanc the past 4 or 5 games. Really consistent, really causing turnovers, and he's actually shooting the puck at a more regularity, not just pass first, which is a trait that I don't like about Joe Thornton, but at least it seems like it's more or less take the good with the bad.
It's the one trait that has definitely rubbed off on LeBanc.
Sadly.
Right. Yeah, and give credit to LeBanc for doing what he's done this season, inching up close to 60 points on the campaign. Great season, and can't wait to see what he brings in the near future. You checking over there?
I always be good.
Okay. Richard Davalos, Meyer at 30 plus goals. The team has scoring even without EK in the lineup. Not sure which one you're talking about. I haven't played in quite some time. Steve Rauer, come on. You've got to give the power play a chance before pulling Jones. We've seen this short story way too many times and ends the same way.
I agree with that. I thought that was too early to pull Jones, especially the way they were playing and
keep the puck in the zone. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a bad coaching decision by DeBoer, and especially what is that long storied quote about, you know, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. And right now, I'm sorry, I don't mean to point out the obvious, but this is what. Now, like 30 out of 35 games that Jones has let a goal in the first 5 minutes.
Oh, no, it's more than that.
Yeah, it's more.
Like, so yeah, almost like 52 of 60 starts.
Yeah.
I think it's in the 40 range, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, oh, no. You know what? I had the 30 thing in my mind was wins. That's what it was. So, yeah, it's insane. And we talk about short house. I think there's going to be some Sharks fans screaming short ridge if this goes, you know, too deep into the playoffs.
Yeah. If this team gets bounced in the first round, Jones is going to be the first one to get a look at.
Dude, he's on a 6-year first, like a 6-year deal, dude. It's not going to go anywhere.
No. I'm not saying just like in terms of blame. I'm like the person, like if you take the contract aside, who's to blame about the result of that series? He's the finger pointing at the first person you look at.
Oh, of course. But the numbers bear that out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's the issue going forward here.
Chris in the chat, Jones is a lemon. I don't know that he's a lemon, but he's definitely a fruit.
No? Our lemon. All right. Our lemon's fruit.
I took a shot.
Maybe my lemon, it could be a little sweet. But here's the thing. As much as we give crap to Jones, he had a phenomenal 40 minutes, though.
Okay. And if the game was only 40 minutes long, it would have been great.
True. That's true. Let's continue on here. 9:34, Adam Gaudette takes a hooking call on Logan Couture, sets up a Sharks power play. Welcome back, Joe Pavelski. He gets his team-leading 38th goal on the season, gives the Sharks a 2-1 lead. Hurdle and Thornton on the assist, which means Thornton now passes Steve Yzerman, 8th all-time on the assist list.
Yep.
Al, what did you think of having Pavelski give the Sharks the lead?
This was his first game back after five games since the nasty fall he took against, I believe it was the Ducks. I think it was Nashville. Good to see him back in the lineup, and he was skating pretty good. Also, Erik Karlsson was skating at the beginning of the game or during practice. So at least he might be back pretty soon, maybe two games from now. I would say I think they want to give him one game before playoffs hit, but Pavelski looked pretty good. I mean, he was engaged. He drew a couple penalties. Really impressed with his performance tonight.
AJ, what did you think of Pavs this evening?
I mean, you got to shake the rust off and whatnot, but I don't know that it's one of those things that it doesn't show up on the score sheet, and we don't have we don't have tertiary assists written down, but somebody should keep track of them, even if they don't go down in the record books. That entire play, yeah, coming from Thornton to LeBanc Thornton to Hurdle to Pavelski, it all started with Pavelski. That entire play started with Pavelski fishing it from behind his own net, getting it around the boards over to Jumbo, who fed it back to Hurdle as Pavelski gets into that beautiful position just off the right side of the net and bounces it home. Again, it's one of those things where tertiary assists matter, people. And that was that whole sequence started with Pavelski. Thank God he's back. I'm still a little surprised that the Sharks weren't able to pull off the win tonight, but hey, thank God Jumbo is back.
One thing I'm kind of surprised about is the PDB line blender was in full effect. Many times you saw Pavelski with Couture and Meyer, those three were on the same line together. You saw that a little bit in the middle of the season, but
I think it's an issue though of being so close to the playoffs that it's like, okay, let's just try different combinations and see what we see.
True, but I kind of expected, you know, Gambrell, if he was going to play, get time. I was expecting some of the veteran forwards to get some ice time just to rest up. Allow Jumbo to at least rest up a little bit also, particularly. Kind of surprised about that, but that's minor.
But the thing is that they still technically have something to go for. In the sense that...
Well, not anymore.
No.
No. I mean, like... And again, I'm getting way, way ahead of ourselves here, but home ice for the Western Conference final, if the Sharks are advanced, are still a key thing right now. You know, and as crazy as that sounds, especially how this team has played over the last dozen games, there's still a shot.
I mean, they're one win, one overtime loss, and 8 losses the last 10 games. This is a pretty bad stretch. I know that's pretty much stating the obvious, but this is some of the worst hockey I've seen in quite a while. And this is very similar to the way they finished in 2016, when they first round exit against the Edmonton Oilers. But unlike that team, this team doesn't have a lot of injuries.
Hold on. Wait a minute. What is Anthony Sanchez talking about in the chat, saying Doug Wilson just kicked the media out of the locker room? A closed door meeting is happening as we speak. Hold on. What?
Let's check Twitter.
Yeah. Confirmation, please. Like, yeah, I want to hear. Is this something that Kurz or Gackle or one of our friends threw out there on the Twitter machine? I would definitely like to know a little bit more about that. If in fact this is true, I'm not saying that Anthony is full of it, but if in fact this did happen, where was this 8 games ago, 5 games ago, 3 games ago? You know, what? Why now? You know what I mean? I mean, there was a hell of a lull that led to the closed door meeting in Montreal back at the beginning of December. And
I am not seeing anything from Gackle or Kurz just yet.
Yeah, so
got the number.
Hey, yeah, yeah, we can call the Toronto War Room, but we can't call Vancouver.
Make sure to cover the puck and whistle it.
He's doing it himself now.
Well, I mean, I just want to know if Sanchez is just, like, you know, having fun with us, or, you know, or if
we'll wait for confirmation. Let's come back to that. I'll search on Twitter, but
yeah, the second period, not much. Congratulations, Jake Middleton. You made the score sheet, your first NHL penalty, tripping at 5:03 of the second. Granlund takes a slashing call, but you know, as much as we've been crapping on Jones lately, give him credit for that unreal save on Brock Besser late in the second period, AJ.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet. I mean, to see, you know, come down off the left side, switch over to the right, Besser right there on the doorstep, unable to penetrate Jones. Wow, phrasing. yeah, that was, I mean, it... I don't know. It's just that whole thing. Jones has just been the picture of inconsistency this season. You see one play comes towards him and he's like, oh, you know, I got this. I'm like a force field right here in front of the net. And then the next one, it's like he's staring 20 rows into the rafters and doesn't see what's going on. I don't know what it is with him this season. And, you know, the fact that there have been... I will say one of the things that is a little nerve-wracking is the Jones apologists that exist in the Twitter sphere or even on some networks, sports networks, whether they're regional or national. And it's so contrarian to hear after one period people bringing up, you know, Jones doesn't look good. Jones is, you know, he's fighting the puck or this, or it doesn't look good. And the defense is, well, it's, you know, the guys in front of him are not playing well and they're giving him bad looks or whatnot and blah, 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 blah. Oh, okay. And then when you talk about, you know, on the second intermission, you say, well, the defense is been porous. And they're giving up these ridiculous looks. And then you sit there and go, well, Jones does need to make save once in a while. And it's like, well, which is it? You know, it's, I'm just tired of it being one or the other, where it's just kind of, dude, numbers don't lie, you know? And granted, at one point, like, Brendan Dillon had like a plus 30. Now he's at like, what, like plus 16 or something. Still, jeez, Nothing to sneeze at. Imagine where he would be if he'd had Erik Karlsson on his side the entire season. But the fact of the matter is the numbers don't lie. And right now, Dell and Jones are in the friggin' basement, especially when you compare them. Instead of comparing them to 30 other teams, just compare them to the other teams that are in the big dance. It makes it look even worse. To sit there and, you know, act as if the sky isn't falling when, you know, all indications are otherwise. I mean, dude, just, you know, it is what it is. You can address the elephant in the room, boys.
Yep. So I'm not seeing anything on Twitter.
Yeah, I think Alex is blowing smoke. I appreciate you watching, dude, but please, we try to be a fact heavy show here. We are not about fake news, but hey, if the Sharks play April 1st next year, by all means, feel free.
Moving on to the third period, 7:07, Kane gets called for hooking while the player was holding his stick, with both hands, it seems like. The Canucks don't do anything on that power play, but then after that, then that's where everything fell apart. 11:18, Tanner Pearson gets his second of the game from... I'm getting there. gets his 16th goal, allegedly, from Louis Erickson and Bo Horvat, 11:18. I'll ask you first, were there shades of Game 6 in 2014 with Alex Stalock covering the puck and it gets poked on into the net?
I mean, the rule book, the intent to blow the whistle.
Intent to blow! Excuse me one second. Intent to blow! So, how many times have the Sharks been screwed over on intent to blow?
That's what she said.
Thank you, Michael Scott.
Thank you. I'm trying to handle this the most PG way possible, but you know, time and time again, the rule book gets thrown out and certain rules only apply. Thankfully, the Sharks are already in lock to play who they are, the Vegas Golden Knights. But if this was a game that we needed to make, or if we were in the same situation as Arizona Coyotes, I would be pissed. Frankly, when it went in, I was pretty sure it was going to count. But if they're going to make a ruling and change it with a mid referee council, they really need to clarify that.
All right, AJ, we talk about intent to blow and we talk about pucks getting shot underneath the
I could give a damn about intent to blow. I could give a damn about all that. The thing that I look at is the fact of the matter is it was called no goal on the ice. Was it not?
It was called no goal on the ice. And okay, then before they went to review, they had changed their call to a goal.
Yes.
Yeah. So I honestly, looking at the video review, I'm not sure how they switched their call. Like, what did they see that made them switch their call? That's what I would like to know. I don't care what the Rome, what the war room says, because, you know, go look at Teal Town USA. We have all GIFs of all the main, you know, all the main plays, all the major, you know, shenanigans that take place during a game. Every single game, we have GIFs of all the main plays on the Teal Town USA Twitter feed. And I'm sitting here looking at the Pearson goal. Can you make a case that Jones has it covered and Pearson pops it in? Yes, you can make a case for that. But you can also make a case of maybe Jones didn't have it covered all the way because there wasn't a conclusive real like camera angle to, you know, basically tip the scales one way or other, which goes back to my question about the refs. How is it they say no goal and then they get together in a huddle and say, oh no, it was a goal. How, why did you, you know, and then for the war room to come in and say, oh, it's confirmed based on what camera angle, you know, that's what got to me. I'm not mad about what that it was a goal. I'm just disappointed in the NHL, just the way that they just seemed like nobody knew what was going on. A minute it's a goal, then it's not a goal. Okay, well, just show us the definitive proof on video that, you know, shows your case and everybody's fine. But there wasn't any, so I just don't understand how they overturned the initial call.
Richard Duvall is saying the refs got together to discuss the play. I think the nearby ref called no goal, but the linesman and the second ref, who's on the other side of the blue line, mind you,
yes,
chimed in and said that he had a better angle of the play and called it a goal.
Yeah, it's funny to me how many times, like, a lineman, they won't chime in or do anything on some plays, but then on other plays, they're like the moral compass of hockey. Yeah, okay, sure.
So there was that tied it at 2-2, and I think you could see the Sharks were kind of down and out about that one. And the Canucks took advantage. Marcus Granlund scores from Schaller and Biega to 13:39 to give the Canucks a 3-2 lead on that one.
Oh, what a fluky bounce.
What a fluky bounce in Vancouver. Color me shocked.
Yeah.
You're saying it wrong.
It's not like Vancouver has a history of like fluky bounces against the Sharks.
Right.
Especially in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Especially in that end. Whether it's stanchions, questionable icing calls, it set up tying goals, whatever it is. And then Troy Stetcher from about 195 feet out gets his second goal of the season from Edler, a shorthanded goal while the Sharks had a power play to try to tie it up. So that's how this one ends, folks. The Sharks lose 4-2. And
what's the opposite of Toskala?
Still garbage.
Talking about a 200-foot goal. I'm just saying.
Well, it was an empty netter, mind you. So,
yeah. Well,
that tells you how great Toskala was, right?
Yeah, same, same.
Stats to go over it: 35-23 in favor of San Jose. Faceoffs. Holy crap! The Canucks dominated this one, 62-38. I think this is the second time in a row the Sharks really got destroyed in the faceoff circle. Good. The Sharks stopped the Canucks power play going 0-2. Sharks 1-4 in the power play, and they could have really used one in late in the third. Hits 20-14 in favor of San Jose. Blocks about even 12-12. Giveaways 9-4. Now, painful. And I know how much some people do not like plus minus as a stat, but Joe Pavelski, Logan Couture, and Brent Burns all -3.
Excuse me.
And Middleton -2 and Burns -3.
Yep. Middleton played 12:56 tonight, which is double than I thought what he would play tonight.
Now, let me ask you a question, though. We're sitting here and you like Middleton early in the game got he did get burned. He was like low man back, I believe, on the first goal. No, not first goal. Second.
No, first goal.
No, it was first. Yeah. He was late man back on the first goal. He gets ripped for his first NHL penalty. That being said, do you think Joakim Ryan would have done any better in either of those positions? I can't say one way or the other. I can neither confirm nor deny.
I think there's more chemistry with Ryan with Burns than obviously Middleton. I think Ryan has
in
more.
Other words, Burns knows Ryan's going to suck, but he's not sure that Middleton's going to.
Let's put it this way. I think there's more upside with Ryan than Middleton. I think Ryan can turn around his game and be more consistent. With Middleton, I'm just not too sure what his game is. And I don't think he can be a Paul Martin that Brent Burns definitely needs.
Oh, Chris in the chat. Yikes. More defensible, this team going out in the first round or the reverse sweep?
Well, let's see where we get to when we get there. But before we go any further, do us a favor for all the people watching. There's a little button down there. There's a red button that says subscribe. If you would do us a favor, if you're new here, please do us a favor. Hit that button. Help us grow the channel. We would really appreciate that. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter, all of those at Teal Town US of A. But most importantly, please hit the little subscribe button if you would. We're going to ramp up the coverage as playoffs get closer. We have some key interviews that we already have booked. They are scheduled. They aren't recorded yet, but they are scheduled. They are booked. So in the next 7 days leading between now and the playoffs, we're going to have some cool content coming out. So best way to find out about it, hit the little subscribe button, hit the notification bell. That's how you find out.
What'd you guys think of Haley tonight?
Kudos to blocking a shot. Hope he's okay with his hand.
Yeah, otherwise, I was just going to say, I hope he uses his right hand, if you know what I mean, because damn, did he take a hard one. Just saying. That was a stinger, my friends.
Yeah, that's not fun. Hi, Kayla. tough one, and I think for many of the Haley haters, They're quietly rejoicing in that one. But that does.
I still want to know why Melker was out tonight. Like, he took warm-up skate, and if you looked the reports from the morning skate, it looked as though Melker was going to go, and they were actually speculating that Donskoy was going to be the one who was in the press box tonight. So I'm a little interested in finding out what changed between morning skate and puck drop.
Probably to get Goodrow and just to see how to face up against some a speed team like Vancouver. Like, you're just playing line combinations. Maybe potentially if we face Calgary, and I guess it would probably have to be Western Conference Finals, what you do for a speed team like that.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But that's wishful thinking at this point.
So, so Sharks 1-8-1 in their last 10. Congrats to Jumbo for surpassing Stevie Y on the all-time assist list. He's now number 8 by himself. For you got LeBanc and Pavelski with your goals on hand.
Felix, is it fair to call PDB's extension in question if the Sharks fall in the first round? Absolutely.
Is that like signed already? Or
oh, dude, that's the weird thing. I don't understand how this whole contract extension with PDB came up like in the last couple of weeks, as if this is brand new information. When Kevin Kurz talked about this like last summer, I don't know if everybody was asleep at the wheel in July and August and September, but like Kurz reported about this last summer. So I honestly don't know why we're still discussing it and why it's a bone of contention now. Dude probably has at least 3 more years left on his, you know, on his contract. Now, do the Sharks have a history of saying, thank you very much, but we'd like to opt out early. Here's your payout and have a nice day. Yes.
Yes.
They have that. But who are you going to get? Are you going to run over to Chicago and sweet talk Quinville?
Don't.
you know, I mean, like, that's the whole thing is, as much as people will, you know, piss and moan on any social media channel, PDB sucks. He needs to be replaced. Okay. I get that. With who? You know, that's the whole thing. If you want to sit there and piss and moan that somebody needs to be replaced, absolutely do that. But just tell me who, you know.
T-Mac?
Well, oh, it needs to be somebody within reason. Like, if you're going to sit there and go, you know, this team would really benefit with John Tortorella behind the bench. Okay, that may be great, but he's employed right now. Now, Coach Quinville, on the other hand, not so much. Coach Hitchcock, in about a week. Not so much. I mean, there are some things. Do you want to go with a retread? Do you want to, you know, reach out and like go way off the board and say, Marco Sturm, come on home? I mean, there are options out there. But when you sit there and piss and moan about PDB, hey, you're entitled to piss and moan. But if you want to be taken seriously, give me a realistic option to replace him.
Let's go retro and go Doug Wilson.
Hey, he is the only
undefeated. What are we, Anaheim here?
No. Wait a minute, though. Al might be onto something.
No.
He is the only undefeated coach in Sharks franchise history.
Oh, my God. Really? We're going to do that? Oh, well, who's this assistant going to be? Al Sims? Get the hell out of here. But yeah. Amiglex in the chat saying Dan Boyle. Dude, Dan Boyle's having a great time rebuilding his house and enjoying his children right now. Like, waking up and taking them to school and picking them up. He's fine.
No.
Jim Tomsula. Okay, hold
on. Oh, Chris, calm down.
I'm looking for the retract button or like the remove comment button. Oh,
boy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, AJ, is it time?
Have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around.
It's wrap around. We got plenty of games to get to on this evening with playoff implications. So let's get to it. The Battle of Navy and Gold, Predators and Sabres. The Nashville Predators win 3-2 in this one. Ryan Johansson with the game-winning goal, 6:32 into the third period. Hutton with the loss, Rene with the win. In Boston, the Bruins clinch home ice in the first round with a 6-2 win over the Neon Buggers. Bobrovsky loses again. He's been on a good run, though, but nothing happening there. Jake DeBrusk with 2 goals in that one. Toronto solidifies the number three spot. That's right. Toronto and Boston again. Oh, the joy. The Carolina Hurricanes win 4-1 on this night. Justin Williams, Hamilton scores twice, and Jordan Skaal with the goals for the Hurricanes as they try to clinch a playoff spot. One that's battling them right now, the Montreal Canadiens shock the Tampa Bay Lightning 4-2. Lekkonen and Domi with third period goals to get them over the top.
How much of a shock is it when you've got everything sewn up when there's literally nothing to play for? It's not that much of a shock.
True.
Let's take a look at that and see like the time on ice that, you know, Kucherov and Stamkos, you know.
All right, let's look.
Got, you know. Yeah, okay. Knock yourself out on that. But real quickly, also in the chat, what do we think about the goalie signing today? Was that today or yesterday?
That was today.
Okay. What's cat's name again? Stoneridge?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, has a fantastic, what is like a 940 save percent?
He's from a Quinnipiac College, Andrew Shortage, with a 940 save percentage this year.
Yeah. And that's fantastic. You know, and okay. So it's a piece that they put in their pipeline to see what's going to happen. If you think you're going to see him in a teal jersey in less than a week, not gonna happen.
Nope.
But
maybe in a teal sweater, but to sit in the press box for the Barracuda.
Yeah, to get him acclimated and everything like that, sure. But I mean, if like it would literally like Jones would have to like, I don't know, put up a 700 save percentage in the first two games, and then they rolled Dell for the third one because Jones is so horrible, and then Dell throws up a 600 save percentage. Then at that point, maybe they go, you know, that Stoneridge kid, let's see if somebody, if Jones's pads fit him because they're about the same size. You know, maybe that would be it. But yes, look at that. Kayla was so angered by that question, she said "F it" and left.
So Kucherov played 22 minutes tonight.
Who? Oh wow. Kucherov.
Wait, okay, that didn't sound like what Alex said, but okay, I'll give it to you.
Yeah, so 22 minutes for Kuch on that night. To quick go over, he's Shortridge, 23 years old, from Anchorage, Alaska, 6'4", 185. Oh wow,
dude, 6'4", 185. Are
that
you
guys thin,
dude? That's what I'm saying. That is rail thin, dude. John Root is 6'4", and he's probably tipping the scales at like 205. So this guy is a rail. So I'm 6'2", tipping the scales at 220, and I could drop like 10 pounds. We could all drop a little bit more than that, but. Yes. See, that's the whole thing. 940. Oh, really? You want to like talk scales, Al? Really?
No. We're laughing because of what you said. Jeez.
What?
Well, that we could all be afford.
Oh, yes. Who can't?
Moving onward. Red Wings 4, Penguins 1. Rockets' second least favorite player. Bertuzzi gets 3 points. Mantha with 2 goals in that one. And by the way, the Penguins still haven't clinched a playoff spot yet.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I do love the fact that Minnesota won, yet are eliminated.
Yeah, Minnesota wins 5-1. They actually won the season series between Innie and Minnie. A 3-goal onslaught early on for the Jets. For the Wild.
It doesn't matter. They all have INN in their name. They're right. All the same.
But the Jets lose, and that's a big loss for the like we said, for the Sharks to finish higher than the Central Division winner in that one. Dallas clinches a playoff spot tonight, beating the Flyers 6-2. In that one, Radulov with 2 goals. Khudobin did not pull the net off the moorings and gets a victory in that one. Avalanche win by the same score, 6-2 in that one.
So disappointing in Khudobin. The best part of this, okay, for those of you who don't know, go back if you have the option to look at the stream from the Oilers. The Oilers were up 2-1 in this and were like looking okay. And Koskinen threw down a ridiculous snow angel save to Colorado when they were on the power play. And then at some point during the second period, there was like some wicked ass voodoo that came down from the Denver mountaintops and just destroyed, just absolutely destroyed the Oilers in the second. It was silly. It was absolutely, I mean, 456, 556, 743, just it, within the course of like 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes, man, just the wheels fell off Edmonton. And it was like the perfect synopsis of the Oilers' entire season. Just when you think like we're rolling, boom, punch in the face.
And man, was McDavid unhappy last night after the game in Vegas or what?
Oh, yep.
Dude, McDavid literally wants to fire everybody in Edmonton except Draisaitl. That's pretty much it.
Good point. So the Avalanche, with the loss from loss from Minnesota, the win from Colorado, they have a magic number of 1 to clinch that playoff spot. And then the top 8 will be pretty much set now, except for playoff positioning. And the final, unfortunately, in the desert, the Desert Dogs lose 3-1 to the Los Angeles Kings. Drew Doughty.
You say unfortunately, from what I know, Darcy Kemper was injured in this game.
Yeah, he took a stick to the eye, we're hearing, and we hope he's okay. But a hell of a run for the Arizona Coyotes, unfortunately, could be coming to an end here in that one for
Please. Colorado has a drop their next two. Arizona has a win their next two. Chances of that happening are about probably the same as, Michael Haley playing on the first line for the Sharks.
Which could happen Saturday in a critical game for the Sharks as they take on the
Easy there.
So that is your NHL wraparound. Do you have that CUDA sounder ready to go by chance? Give some love for the... that one, that works.
I had to do it just for the fun of it.
Chewy, shut up.
Your San Jose Barracuda have 3 games this week. Wednesday at 7 p.m., they're back at home taking on the San Diego Gulls. Friday night, they are home to the Grand Rapids Griffins at 7 p.m. And then Saturday at 1:15, it is... the Griffins again at 1:15 p.m. So if you want a double header, you got one in Teal Town. Yep.
What?
Yep.
Who's playing where? What?
The Grand Rapids Griffins are in San Jose for a back to back.
But where are they from?
Grand Rapids.
In other words, like Michigan?
Yes. They're the Red Wings affiliate.
But what about Orlando?
Orlando?
Did you not say anything about Orlando?
No.
I'm so bummed. I heard Orlando.
Did you have like a soundboard ready to go for this?
No, it wasn't that. It was this. You know what? All of a sudden I heard like
talk
the
about
word Orlando, and all of a sudden I just fell back for a hot minute. Do you guys remember a hockey team called the Orlando Solar Bears?
Yes, they are currently playing in the ECHL right now as well.
And unfortunately, the San Francisco Spiders, never the twain shall meet.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, good times of crazy jerseys.
Either way, though, that Grand Rapids game on the 6th could make the ice really interesting between the Sharks and Avalanche next Saturday for Fan Appreciation Night. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Should be an interesting one. I always wonder if they could always call up a player who played that day from the AHL to play in the NHL.
I think
not that you would want to do that, but
that happened with the bank, I believe.
Dude, I think it would be awesome. And I think it would also be kind of a kick to the groin. And obviously that's the last thing that Erik Karlsson needs, but it would be a virtual kick to the groin of this Shark squad, especially the guys wearing 30 and 31. If they said, you know what, there's literally nothing to play for while we're at home on Fan Appreciation Night. Hey, Stone Ridge. Get your equipment on. Let's see what you got, bruh. I think that would be hysterical. I mean, we saw Gambrell get, like, what, last season, play like the final four games of the season last year.
Three or four, yeah.
Yeah, stranger things have happened, my friend.
Audio programming. Jeez. All right. So, well, let's take a look at the standings here as we get close to the playoffs, which start less than a week away, shall we? All right. In the West, you have Winnipeg and Nashville now tied at 96 points.
Hold on. Felix, my brother, I enjoy you. I enjoy your writing, but you're saying next Saturday for fan night. I thought that would this Saturday. Next Saturday is this Saturday, dude. It's, you know, when you say the next one, dude, it's the next one. Like I sit here and say, you know what? There's also a game next Thursday. That doesn't mean the following Thursday. That there's a Thursday in 2 days. That's the next Thursday coming up. Come on, man. Come on.
In the West, in the Central, more specific, we have a tie for the Central lead. Winnipeg and Nashville at 96 points with two games to go. Winnipeg has the tiebreaker with the Rose. Again, very, very interesting here if they don't hit the 100-point mark for the Sharks. Sharks, if they can win out, they will have that home ice for round three if they advance. St. Louis at 94 still has a shot to steal the division since they have a game in hand on both Winnipeg and Nashville in that one.
Chris says, grow the game, grow a calendar, Felix. Oh, I like in, that. Hey, just give it a second here.
Playoffs.
The Pacific is already set up. Calgary with the top seed in the West. San Jose will be number two, taking on Vegas. Dallas with the number one spot in the wild card. That remains to be seen depending on what Colorado or Arizona do. But they are pretty close to clinching that number one spot to open up against the Central Division winner. Yes.
I feel like Calgary and Colorado could be a very good series of
playoffs.
I think that could be very good. Winnipeg and Dallas, I think that could be a beatdown, dude. I think it could be really close. And remember, that is not like fait accompli. Nashville and Winnipeg. It's not a fait accompli for Winnipeg, obviously, because they're the leader in that. But Winnipeg and Nashville it's going to come down to the wire, my friend. I wish we were involved. Tell me that Winnipeg and Nashville play each other for the final game of the season. That would be so great.
It doesn't matter.
I'm just saying that, like, who knows who's going to face Colorado. But, man, Colorado has so nothing to lose. Winnipeg's last two games are, hey, versus Colorado. You know they got something to play for. And Arizona, who at this point really have nothing to play for. So we'll see what happens. But I'm telling you, I am so looking forward to whoever Colorado faces because I just have this weird vibe. Jot this down because the Predators finish off versus Vancouver and Chicago. Neither team have anything to play for. At least the Winnipeg Jets are going to play a playoff-bound team, at least as it stands right now. They're going to face a playoff-bound team. So Nashville could win that. Then you got Winnipeg versus St. Louis. That could be an interesting series. I don't know. Winnipeg has been playing like 500 hockey for like the last month and a half. I think they are a prime target of being the number one seed that gets bounced in the first round.
You know, there's nothing that's really surprised me about Winnipeg. It's been kind of disappointing overall. The number of key players haven't produced all year at the rate that we've kind of expected. I kind of agree with you. But when it comes to Colorado and Calgary, I just don't trust Colorado's defensive lineup. I think Calgary has a surprising young decor that really does help with their offense. That series can either go five or seven. Yep. I'd really wouldn't surprise me if it goes seven and Colorado wins on the road because both contenders are both shaky. And it really does kind of depend on who has the hot goaltender.
And the whole thing is Calgary doesn't even, it seems like nobody in Calgary knows who the hell is going to start for the Flames in goal. Smith has like started five of the last six, and it's like they're speculating. Well, is it because Smith is on a roll, or is it because they're resting Redditch? Like, what are we going to do? And $10 from John. John, can we use this $10 for someone to take a box of no-dos and eye drops to Jones? Dude, I'm like,
I'm there with you.
I was going to say, I won't say what I really want to do on air right now.
At this point, I've said every excuse I have for Jones. Like, it's not his fault. 2 deflections in the net, but
getting back to the Central, St. Louis has 3 games left. They're at Chicago, home to Philly, home to Vancouver.
Chicago's going to play them tough. They always do.
But with 3 games left, they could steal the division from Winnipeg and Nashville.
Yeah. I didn't even tap into St. Louis. And the fact, too, is that out of those 3 teams in the Central, St. Louis, Nashville, and Winnipeg, St. Louis has the best record over the last 10, being 7-2-1. Yep. So, hey, now, how awesome would that be if we all know as Pacific Division fans, like, our stuff is fait accompli. Everything is pretty much locked in stone. You know, it's like a Excalibur, man. Sword in the stone. Everything is locked in. You're not pulling it back out. But, oh, my God, the Central is loosey-goosey, my friends. And these last 5-6 days of hockey, thank you, Central Division, for making things so interesting.
And how do you feel about the Colorado Avalanche? They're 1 point away from clinching a playoff spot, and Ottawa has clinched the worst record in the NHL, which means Ottawa has the best chance at the number 1 pick. Oh, that's right. They traded it to Colorado. They could clinch a number 1 pick in the draft before they even play a playoff game.
Wait a minute. Did Ottawa trade that pick to Colorado, or did they happen to just drop it and leave it in an Uber in Colorado?
Let's put it this way. They dropped it off like a year ago and thought Brady Tkachuk would be their guy. They didn't expect to have a crappy team where Jack Hughes could just fall into their laps.
Yeah. All right, hold on. We got to get to the chat, guys. Davalo's asking, who has the road tiebreaker between Winnipeg, St. Louis, and Nashville? Right now, that would be Winnipeg by 3. 44 for them, Nashville 41, St. Louis 41. Fact or fiction, the Sharks signed Ryan Miller to back up Jones this offseason. If they didn't do it before the deadline, they're not going to do it going forward. There's no reason to sign a 35-year-old guy when you're looking at Stone Ridge, you're looking at Bebeau, you're looking at Cornosh.
Another one that we haven't talked about, too, and an 18-year-old in this system as well.
And then you have Timo and Pavelski, and you don't have any cap to spend on a veteran.
Well, yeah, but it's not like Ryan Miller. Let's be honest. He's going to get it's going to be a basement minute. But the thing is, Miller, I guarantee you, he doesn't want to sign here. He wants to stay in Anaheim.
Isn't Dell $1.5 million? So you would probably be
zero in about 6 weeks, bro. Dell gone.
The point is that you're gonna have to get Ryan Miller for 2, so that is not worth it.
I'm just really happy that the Sharks franchise have realized that they finally need to get away from a PC. Get rid of the Dell, go get a Mac.
It was only a matter of time.
In the East, the Metro is not wrapped up. Washington still has a lead on the Islanders. Pittsburgh, as we said, still hasn't clinched the playoff spot yet. The Atlantic, of course. Tampa Bay's clinched like back in January, it seems like. Boston at 105 as well. Toronto at 99. Boston, Toronto again. The interesting will be the wild card. Carolina at 95 with 2 games to go. Columbus at 94 with 2 games to go. Montreal at 94 with 2 games to go. The Columbus Blue Jackets have the row tiebreaker right now. But at this point, Montreal has to have the points to leapfrog.
Come on, Montreal. You can do it. No one cares about Columbus. I mean, want to see a tire fire.
Oh, which tire fire? Columbus or Pittsburgh?
Columbus.
How would you feel if one of these teams could end up with like 95 points and miss the playoffs? If that.
I mean, have a better.
Can we get back to the whole 1-8 debate?
I was just about to say that.
Well, if it were 1-8, it would look like this. It looked the same, pretty much the same thing, except for Pittsburgh Tampa, would Columbus. Be in, you know, Tampa, Columbus, Carolina, Boston, you know, Pittsburgh, Washington. Oh, gee, what a shock there. Toronto and the Islanders. That's the one that would be the biggest one for that one. And for the West, if it were 1-8, it would, well, remember, the top division winners get the top two seeds. So San Jose would technically be the number three seed. They would get Vegas, Nashville, St. Louis, you know, and nothing much changes here in the top eight.
Yeah.
So.
Dude, my whole thing is, and it was just brought up in the chat. Who's going? Is it going to be Columbus or is it going to be Montreal? Because, you know, Tortorella cannot have nice things. I am rooting for Montreal.
And NHL wants Pittsburgh, so they're not going to miss it.
He's got a point there.
So it either comes down to those two.
He's got a point there, unfortunately. All right. Well, in case you missed anything or you want to watch this again, check us out on TealTownUSA.com or your favorite podcatcher, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Spotify. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We thank nearly the 1,275 subscribers to the YouTube channel. Please like this video, subscribe to us, tell all your friends.
Like this video, take it, rub it with fascinating eclectic oils, help grow it, people.
AJ,
okay, you okay, no rocket. Rocket.
All right, well,
oh, yeah,
that closes this edition of the show. Al, your final
good evening, Sharks fam.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, short house.
Al, your final thoughts and where the people can find you.
Hey now.
All right, you can find me on Twitter at AlMarnax.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Okay, you can find me on Twitter at AlMartinet. Players, end of the season starts Saturday. I'm looking forward to it.
Wow. Okay. Dude, you know, Edmonton, sure, whatever. You've got a team that is so dejected. If you can't get a win over these guys, I mean, honestly, at this point, I don't even think it's a case of playing for pride. I don't know that they're playing for jobs. I don't know what Edmonton is playing for at this time. I mean,
they're playing for McDavid not to ask for a trade out of town.
Yeah, that might in fact be it. Like, even Draisaitl's like, bro, don't lead. I need somebody to play with. It's insane. And then on top of it, you look at that deal that McDavid got. I mean, you talk about putting all your fish in one barrel. I mean, dear Lord. And remember, people, there is an option. Salary cap can get a little bit bigger. If you find the right people in the right places, if Gretzky was traded, anybody can be traded. And you could see McDavid moved for a whole bunch of pieces. And yeah, Edmonton fans would want to burn the city down for about a season or two until all of a sudden they said, wow, look at all these picks. Look at all these pieces we got. I don't know. Edmonton has some serious things to consider. And guess what? We're going to be talking to Drew Remenda about that very shortly. So do us a favor, hit that subscribe button. It hangs out right down there. It should be a little tiny red right there, right between the fingertips, but if not, it could be a little bit lower. Hit the subscribe button. It'll let you know every time we're going live. We go live after every single Sharks game, but we also have a weekly wrap-up. But we have some cool interviews in the pipeline that is going to be dropping over the course of the next week or so leading into playoffs. Don't miss those. hit the subscribe button. I'm AJ underscore strong on the Twitter, on the Instagram. You can find me taking funny photos of my cat. I don't know if you saw it tonight, but I got a great video of my cat like losing his mind trying to catch the puck on the screen. I'm just saying. But for those of you who hung out for the entire time, I told
you, very much.
I told you we give away prizes, people. We do prizes. Who would like a Kane Penelope bobblehead? Who enjoys the Canes and the Puppers? Who doesn't want bobblehead? Yes? Yes?
Yes. Yes. I agree.
I'm waiting to, I see nothing in the chat right now.
Are you sure you want that bobblehead? Sharks have been 1-1 since that happened.
I don't care. So, how do you get a bobblehead? Well, of course, you have to answer the question. First person who doles out the answer to my question will, in fact, win this amazing Kane and Penelope bobblehead. The answer to my question is... Actually, I should probably say the question is, you provide the answer. You provide the answer. The question is... Name the first two Sharks to score hat tricks in the same game.
Oh,
go.
Go. God, I know this one too. Oh,
go. I'm waiting. Why? I'm looking in the chat right now. We will wait for the first one. I'm looking for two names, dumbass, not one. I'm sorry. I had to do it. let's see. Oh, the answer that makes us laugh hardest win. Yeah, if you say Haley and Odgers, yeah, I will buy that.
John Scott.
Scott Mike Brown. No, oh, got Anthony winner. Sanchez is our winner.
Owen Nolan and Jeff Friesen back in October of 99 in a rout over the Blackhawks.
Yes. So, Anthony Sanchez, do us a favor. Hit us up on Twitter. Follow us at Tealtown USA. If you don't have a Twitter and don't follow us, then you don't get the goddamn bobblehead. But if you do, slide in. Hit us on Twitter. Send us a message on Twitter and said, dude, Anthony Sanchez, I won the Kane Penelope bobblehead. I'll slide into your DMs, pick up your address, and get that sent out to you. Remember, share this with a friend. Help us grow the channel, please, from now throughout the playoffs. We're giving away a prize every single show. So tonight, it's a Kane Penelope bobblehead. Next show, I'm thinking Logan Couture bobblehead.
Oh.
So, or, hold on. Okay, now wait. This is going to be the thing. Okay, vamp for 5 seconds, puck guy.
All right. Well, don't forget that we will be back with you Thursday night following the Sharks and Oilers. That is a, what is it, a 7 p.m. puck drop at the tank? Yeah, at no, the Rogers?
Is it seven or six, earlier?
I think it's six.
Yeah,
it's
six. Because, yeah, this is because of the time difference. Yeah.
So,
hockey night in Canada.
So, for those, if you could help us grow the channel, you know, if we see some more subscribers on YouTube, some more followers on Insta and on Twitter, then you know what? Help us out. Let us know. Slide it. Hit us up on Twitter and said, hey, I got these three people to follow you or whatever. And you will become the proud owner of a playoff mode box.
Oh, damn.
Inside of which is a playoff towel, a ridiculously awesome like window cling that is huge, by the way. You'll also end up with a cool little teal gel thing to put over the light on your phone, so all your pictures have a teal tinted hue. And then, of course, the teal light bulb that will just make your entire life, or at least inside your room, a teal.
I need to have one of those.
And it all comes in this beautiful, fantastic, cool box right here. You can hear there's stuff in it. In fact, you want to know how cool this box is? Look at this. It even has cool teal packing paper inside. That's how cool this box is. So
now I'm completely jealous. Yeah.
So I'm just saying, and the towel is quite nice, I must say. So do us a favor. You know, we're here for you guys. We want to, you know, give you some fun stuff, but give us, you know, help us out, please. We just want to grow the channel and become as big and share this with as many Sharks fans as possible. So if you can figure out a way to spread the word. You know, it's like we're aware, obviously, of Reddit and Twitter and HF boards and all those things. If you know some other places that we're not aware of, please spread the word. Let us know. Get out on Facebook. Get on Instagram. Say, hey, man, go check out my boys over at Teal Town USA. They go live after every game, tossing it around, talking Sharks hockey, because God knows if you live in the Bay Area and you tune into sports radio, you're not going to hear anything about the Sharks there. So help us out, guys.
All right.
Saying. If you have to open, look at Felix, dude, if you have to open like 10 fake accounts, I don't have a problem with that. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
You sure about that?
No. We want real people, dude. We're not buying eyes here. We're going to be legit, dude.
Yep.
We're not buying views. We're not buying subscribes. Sorry. And we don't play that game.
Nope. We don't. So we will be back with you Thursday night following Sharks and Oilers. Be on the lookout for that Drew Remenda interview that should drop sometime tomorrow night.
Now and the beginning of the Edmonton game. I'm just going to go right there because
hey everybody, Drew Remenda here. You're listening to another podcast from Teal Town USA.
Just saying.
Yeah. So be on the lookout for that. I am Eric Hura. You can find me on the Twitter and Instagram at PuckGuy14. Again, we'll be back with you Thursday night following Sharks and Oilers. That's a 6 p.m. start on NBCS California Plus 2, I think is where they're at. I think they're on channel 819.
The next two games.
Double plus.
Two games, right?
Yeah. So be on the lookout for that.
I got to be honest with you, dude. I had to like dial into my like settings on DirecTV and go, do I even have this channel? Oh, yeah, I got to add it to my, like, okay, I got it. Dude, I was getting a little nervous, dude. I saw, like, Sacramento Kings. I'm like, oh, hell no.
So be on the lookout for that. We'll relist the channel listings before the game on Thursday as well. So be on the lookout for that, equivalent to ESPN9 or the golf channel.
Get on the Ocho.
It's Ocho.
Yes. So until then, keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real, Teal. You have a wonderful night. We'll see you Thursday. Have a good one.
Hey, I'm Brody Brazil, and welcome to Teal Town After Dark.